You ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Let's share our favorite Bible verse together. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. We've been talking about this, and I'm still finishing up our Advent, messages for this year. But God is always ahead of us, and we are catching up to Him. Think about that. If He's leading us, He's always out in front. He's always ahead of us, and we're catching up to Him. I always think, I think it's the Gospel of Mark that Jesus says, I go to Galilee before you after the resurrection. He says, I'm already going. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm going to Galilee. If you want to see me again, I'm going to be in Galilee. You follow me. He's ahead of us. He's calling us to where He is. Amen. Now, go to Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. Last week we read 18 through 21, but I want to continue that and go to add 22 and 23 to it. So Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We sang about that this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. Heaven come to earth. The word of God become flesh. But verse 22 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. You know, when we think about this, about Jesus being called Emmanuel, God with us, we've got to understand that Jesus is the complete package, and we talked about that last week. He is the complete package. Now listen, there is no part of God that was not present in Christ. He was the Word that was in the beginning, that was with God. The Word was God, and Jesus is that Word of God that became flesh and has dwelt among us in the earth so that we could behold the glory of the Father, and the Bible says full of grace and truth. So the glory of God is full of grace and is full of truth. And if we see the glory of God, we have grace and we have truth, both of it at the same time. Now, Jesus' birth was a fulfillment of prophecy, and it signified the end of an era, the conclusion of an era, as well as the beginning of a new era. Now, we oftentimes just kind of, oh, yeah, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, but it was a new era. Jesus is birthing something new in the earth that has never existed before, has never been done before, and that's why he's a complete package. Now, Jesus lived under the Abrahamic covenant, but he introduced a new covenant, a covenant of the Spirit. No longer a letter of the law, but a covenant of the Spirit of God, a covenant of a new life, a Zoe life, the God kind of life in the earth. And he brought it so that we could enter into it, not just to hear about it, but we could enter into this new heaven, this new covenant, this new relationship, this new way of living, this spiritual thing that we could enter into it. Jesus introduced the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, into the earth. Now, Jesus preached all the time, the kingdom of heaven is upon you, or is at hand. His life, his teachings, were a demonstration of this kingdom. And I want you to get this. His teachings were a demonstration of the kingdom, but Jesus told Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, up until this time, no one had entered the kingdom. Think about that. No one had ever entered into the kingdom of God. They heard about it. They heard the prophets talking about it. But until Jesus came, nobody entered into the kingdom of God. Now, there is a revealing and a showing forth of the kingdom of God, and there is an entering into the kingdom. As I said, Jesus' life and his teachings heralded the kingdom, and yet no one entered the kingdom until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one entered into the kingdom of God. They could participate in it to a certain degree, but they never fully entered into that kingdom of God. Listen, just because you have viewed a documentary doesn't mean you've been there yourself. Just because you've read the Bible doesn't mean you've entered into it. Just because you have the right doctrine doesn't mean you've entered into it. Debbie was kind of talking about this morning in Sunday school. You know, she didn't say it this way, but to enter in, you have to believe and act. Your actions are part of entering in. So you can believe that you enter in, but until you act as though you have, until you act on the faith of being in the kingdom, you haven't entered into it. You're just acknowledging that it exists. Amen. See, Jesus' ministry was showing us the Father, the kingdom of God, but no one entered into this kingdom. No one was born again until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. There was a man, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about to Nicodemus, until you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says to him in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, he had talked about you've got to be born again to see it. This is why Abraham's faith is so great, because Abraham was never born again, and yet he saw what was ahead of him. He could see in the Spirit. God counted him as being righteous, although he never was righteous, but God counted him as though he were righteous and allowed him to see into the kingdom of God. And he's telling Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. To see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. But then he goes on, but he says, but you've got to be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. What I'm proposing is there is a seeing and there is an entering. And for far too many people, if we see it, we think we've entered. Go back to the documentary. Just because you've seen a documentary doesn't mean you've been there. You can say, oh, I thought of, when I was reviewing this morning, I thought about James Arness. Was it James? No, it wasn't James. Support your local sheriff. Was that James Garner? James Garner and Support Your Local Sheriff. And he says, I'm on my way to Australia. Well, what's in Australia? Well, if you ever read a book about Australia, you'd want to go too. He goes, well, why would I want to go? Well, they've got animals over there. They hop around. They box you. They have a little pouch on their bodies to put things in. And he was all excited. He had never been there, but he read a book. Now, if we've seen the kingdom of God, we ought to be excited about getting there, about going to the kingdom of God, not be content. Well, Australia has some really neat things in it. You know, we can say, well, the kingdom of heaven really has some cool things in it. You know, when we die and all are in heaven, man, we're all going to be healed. Well, we can be healed now. But see, we put it off till later. Well, you can either see it or you can enter. You can go there if you want to. And you don't have to, well, you have to die, but you don't have to die physically. You have to die to self. You have to die to the world. You have to die to these things. But you can enter into this. And this is what Jesus is beginning to talk about. You've got to, Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the water in the natural, but you've got to be born of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. It goes on to say in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh by itself cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the Spirit can. So you've got to be born of the Spirit if you're going to enter into the things that belong to God. It's not just for everyone. It's for those who are willing to believe and trust God and enter into the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting that Jesus says to Nicodemus says to Jesus, "We know that you're a teacher because no one can do the signs that you do except unless God is with him." He knew he was a teacher, but Nicodemus was confused. Now, this is a confusion. He saw the miraculous but could not grasp what it meant. In church, we can be in a church that worships God. Well, that was different. Have no clue what it means. You can be in a church and see miracles and go, "Wow, that was amazing," and not have a clue what it means. Now, I could ask you, and most of you probably couldn't tell me what it means. But when you enter into worship, it means God is present. Because you can only worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, if God inhabits the praises of the worshipers, then when we enter into worship, because it's more than singing songs, but when you enter into worship, God is present. Now think about that. When there are miracles taking place, it means God is present. And yet I've been in places where there were miracles, and I thought, "Well, that was interesting." And I want to look at, how did they lay hands on them? Because however they laid hands, that's what I want to do too, because it worked for them. So if I just copy what they do, and you copy what they do, and nothing happens. Why? Because God isn't present. Now, you can either wait for miracles to believe that God is present, or you can believe God is present and create miracles. And most of us, we're seeing and believing. If you watch any Christmas movies this year at all, you know that believing is seeing. And that's really true. You believe and then the miracle comes. You don't see and then the miracle comes. You believe, and your believing brings you into the miracles. Why? Because God is present, and the miracles are just the outward sign of the presence of God. Just like worship is the outward sign of the presence of God. Because as we worship, God draws nigh to us. As we honor him, honor his word, honor his presence, his miracles draw nigh to us. And we've seen it in this church of where the presence of God is so strong and nobody will enter in. So, well, Gordon, I just don't believe that. Well, the Bible said when Jesus preached it one time, it says the power to heal them was present, but none got healed. The power was present. And there are times in church, there are times in our lives when the presence of God is all around us and we're still looking to the natural things to see if God's here, and we're missing God. We're missing his presence. We're missing what God is doing because we're so busy looking into the natural. See, this is what Nick was missing. Jesus told him that unless one is born again, born from above, he can't see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born from above. You can't just be born again or born once. You've got to be born from above. That's what the literal translation means, is to be born from above. You've got to be born of heaven. You've got to be born of God. You can't just be born of flesh and enter into these things, because the flesh can't grasp it. The flesh can't understand miracles. The miracles always confuse the flesh. Well, I just don't know what was going on. I just don't understand what was happening. That's because you're looking at it in your flesh, and you've got to begin to walk in the things of the Spirit of God to enter into these things. Amen. See, Nick couldn't see the kingdom. He saw the signs, but he missed seeing the kingdom or the presence of God. Again, go back to John 3:5. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You know, there's an old saying, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And say, what's that? How can a man be born again? Well, see, you got to be born twice. Born once is getting you into the natural world. being born twice, born from above, born from heaven, is to be born of the Spirit. Our spirit man has got to be reborn if we're going to enter into the things of God, if we're going to enter into what God has before us. Again, John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, what we read about the exchange with Nicodemus and Jesus is Nicodemus was looking solely in the natural. And so he missed the kingdom of God. He could see the effects of it, like the leaves blowing in the wind, but he can't see the wind. He can't see the presence of God because all he can see are the natural things, and the natural things confused him. This is why two people can see the same facts and reach different conclusions. We both saw the same thing, but we come up with different conclusions. And the reason is the filter or the lens that we see through that corrects our vision. See, if I don't believe in God and I see a miracle, my lens will correct what I see, and I'll say, well, that really must not have been a miracle. Somebody must have really missed something. The doctor had a misdiagnosis. Why? Because my filter brings me to the truth of what I already believe, that is no God and there are no miracles. But now if I believe in God and I see a miracle, now my lens corrects. I'm not just seeing the natural. I'm seeing the move of God. I'm seeing, how do I put this? I want to make it personal to you. I am seeing the blessing of God on your life. And I can walk away and say, you are blessed. Well, I don't feel blessed. I'm seeing the blessing. I don't feel blessed. I see the blessing. I see the blessing. God is all over. And it's like, you could see this. Why? Because I'm seeing my filter is letting me perceive the truth of what I already believe, that the presence of God is upon you. If we want to get real spiritual, it's called the anointing. The anointing, the oil of God is greasing you up, is patting you down, is covering you so that you can just slip over into the kingdom of God without rubbing, without getting bruised, without getting beat up. That anointing just helps us slide over into that kingdom and the grace of the power of God. Amen. See, Nicodemus saw through the filter of the law and nature. The miraculous or the spiritual confused him because there was no room for it. And when you exclude God, there's no room for the supernatural because you are limiting yourself to those natural things. A natural worldview has a natural answer for every event. A natural worldview cannot accept God because it cannot see God. Even though God can do miracles right in front of them, he can't see it because he has already excluded God from his understanding. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. Jesus put it this way. He said, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Now notice, it's not God withholding, it's their heart. Their heart has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now, why have their hearts grown dull? Because they don't believe in God. Why have they closed their eyes? Why have they shut down their ears? It's because if they see God, if they really open their eyes up and see God, then it is inherent that they repent from their unbelief and turn. And once they do that, God will heal them. But because they have rejected God, they keep their ears closed, their eyes closed. They keep their hearts dull that God can do all kinds of things in front of them. And they just absolutely refuse to see God. Because if they see God, I mean, when God became real in your life, you repented. You say, oh God, forgive me for being a sinner. Forgive me, God, for not believing you. I grew up in church. I love church. I love the scripture. I love to hear my dad preach. I loved all these things. But when God got to me, I knew I was not a Christian. I believed all the right doctrine. I had accepted it, but I had never entered into those things for myself. And so when God confronted me, the natural thing, I didn't have to have a theologian explain, you've got to declare Jesus as Lord. You've got to say these. It was instinctive, natural in me. God, you are God. I don't have a clue what I've even talked about for all these years, because I have no grasp, no comprehension at all of all the things that I've heard and all the things that I thought I knew. I have no understanding of them at all. And it was just natural to repent and give my life to God. Why? I saw him. I couldn't explain it on a deep level. I couldn't give you the rationale for it. But it just, when God convicts your heart, the only proper response you can have is, God, forgive me because I'm a sinner. That's all you can do. And once you do that, your life begins to change. The world only sees the natural things around them. They have no ears or eyes to see God. In Matthew 13:16, Jesus said, but blessed, this is the next line, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking about those people. They've got dull hearts. They refuse to see God. They've got closed ears, closed eyes. They don't want to see God, because if they do, it demands a response from them of repentance and yielding to God. But he says, but your eyes are open. You have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. Now, that's good and that's bad. Because they can get them. Now you see, how come you're not doing? If any man says he sees but doesn't do anything about it, does he really see? You can get a lot of theological discussions on that, because we always see more than we're walking in. We always see more than we're walking in, but it's that recognition now that I've got to do something. If I really see it, I've got to respond to it. If I really see that God is my healer, why am I still living in the spot that I am? If I really see that God is my financier, why am I living in poverty? If I really see that God is my Savior, why am I living in depression? If I really have a grasp of who God is, why am I still living in my old condition? It's because I haven't believed, I haven't chosen to enter in, but I've chosen to live by what I see around me rather than the Word of God, rather than the Spirit of God. It's really simple. But it's hard, because I've got to let go of my flesh. I've got to let my flesh man die. I've got to stop living by what I see in the natural and what I hear in the natural, and I've got to start living by what I see in the Spirit of God. How many of you believe that when you die and go to heaven, you're going to be healed? I mean, we'll all be the perfect weight. We'll all have our hair back, unless you don't want hair. You know, When you get to heaven, you're not going to have any needs. Everything's going to be provided for you. Well, did you know that that's what we call the kingdom of heaven? Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Yes. Why wait till you die? Let's get it now. Yes. Let's go after it now. Let's pursue it now. Oh, but that means work. Ah, yeah. It means self-discipline. Yeah. It means I've got to change how I think. Yeah. It's like, that's the hard part. You know, like I say, being a Christian is easy. It is so easy. All you have to do is die. Dying's the hard part. Dying to my flesh, dying to that Cheeto crave at 11 o'clock at night, dying to that extra pudding, dying to self-discipline, dying to read the Word rather than just do what I want to do. It's putting my flesh to death and those things away that allow me to enter into the kingdom of God. And to be very honest with all of us, there are certain things we enjoy. And so we'd rather do that than obey God. Aren't you glad God still loves us? Aren't you glad God isn't upset with us? But I'm just saying, there is more that we have to enter into than what we're entering into because of our hardness of heart, because of our dull heart. Good preaching, Gordon. Hallelujah, brother. Bless the Lord. See, this is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. And Jesus went further. He was telling Nicodemus, seeing is not enough. To enter into the kingdom of God, we must be born of water and the Spirit. James chapter 1, 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, ooh, and continues in it. See, you've got to look at it, but you've got to continue in it. It's got to become a lifestyle. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We want to be blessed. James gives us the pattern for blessing. You've got to hear, but you've got to remember, meditate, and you've got to put it into action. And the one who does those things, he's the one that's going to get blessed. People say, well, I don't understand why they got blessed. I did the same things and I didn't get blessed. Well, you didn't do the same things. Do I need to say that again? You didn't do the same things. But I confessed. Yeah, but they confessed and believed. Well, but I confessed and believed. Yeah, but they acted on it. They spoke to the mountain. They spoke to the problem. They did something about it. Their faith spurred them to act on what they believed. Well, I just think that's getting a little bit radical. That's why they got blessed. That radical part is what put them over the top. That radical part is what brought the blessing out of the heavenly realm and brought it into their natural life. And they can say, I am blessed. See, they received it where we saw it. We believed on it, but we didn't act on it because, well, why do I have to go to the extreme? That's like I wanted to go to the market the other day, and I went out and got in the car, sat in the car, started the car. Because it was cold, I put the heater on in the car. I didn't ever get to market. I've got to put the car into drive. I've got to get it on the road, and I've got to go to market. The car will only do what I tell it to do. It responds to me. But I can think in that car. I can pull up my navigator system in the car. What is the distance from here to there? What is the best route to get from here to there? And it'll tell me all that stuff. But it won't get me to the market. I've got to drive the car. Well, I just think that's a little bit radical. Well, if you want to get to market, it's normal. Hello? It's normal. It's normal. The Bible says it like this. The righteous shall walk by faith. It's just natural for a righteous man to walk by faith. It's the easiest thing in the world. But if I don't know who I am, I'm not going to walk in righteousness. I'm not going to walk by faith because, well, that stuff just doesn't work for me. That's because you're not radical. You really haven't sold out to this stuff yet. You want it to work. You believe it can work, but you won't put into action the things that cause it to work. Hallelujah. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. Within 2 hours after you leave church, most of you will not have any memory of what I'm talking about today. That's why we encourage you to take notes. But you'll not remember unless you look at your notes. There might be one phrase that stands out, praise God. But in Jesus' day, they didn't have laptops. They didn't have tablets. They didn't have cell phones where you could record what they were saying and listen to it. But when I was in seminary, I know this is a long time ago, 40-some years ago now. When I was in seminary, one of our professors that was over in the Middle East, he said to this day in Arab countries, if they heard a speech 20 years later, they can tell you the speech almost verbatim. Now, are they that much smarter than we are? No. But we have relied on books and on notes. We don't rely on our memory. they've been trained from youth to remember things. And so when they hear a speech, if it's a significant speech, they hear it and remember it because they are trained and disciplined to do those things. But in America, well, I'll get the DVD. How many books do you have at home that you haven't read? I'm talking to myself. How many DVDs do you have at home, Bible DVD you've never watched? How many, a pastor said this to us years ago. I'll date myself about maybe 10 or 15 years ago now. He said, well, you know, on the internet, there's all these this video stuff out there, and you can watch all these. I said, I'm really not aware of it. You don't know all that stuff's out there? Man, you ought to be eating this stuff up. You ought to be. And I'm thinking, I still don't do all that. I've got some favorite preachers, but it's like I'm not 24/7 in the Word of God. I'm not 24/7 watching DVDs. I'm not on their website searching. It's like, but I ought to be. I really need to discipline myself more, but sometimes I just like to have fun. What's your excuse? Because it's all available. But we've got to yield ourselves to it and make a purpose our lives to let those things have place in us. Otherwise, it won't work for you. James talks about looking into the mirror, James 1:23. He says he is like a man observing himself in his natural face in a mirror. What mirror are you looking into? Are you looking at the Word of God? Are you looking at all the natural things around you? Can you hear and see what God says about you? Or are you a forgetful hearer? That's a good one, isn't it? Do you remember? Do you meditate on what God has said about you? Because He loves you. He's given us grace. He's called us His children. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I have overcome the world. He says, I'll give you peace. I'll give you all these things. Are we remembering what God has said? Or are we so caught up in our own situation, our own events, to such a point that it drowns out anything that God has ever told us? I know people that have had words of the Lord over them. And yet when they're in a stressful situation, they forget about the word of the Lord. And sometimes you just want to knock them on the head. I said, do you know that God personally gave you this word and God personally told you this? Well, yeah, but that was a long time ago. The word of God is not a flower that fades away. The word of God lasts and endures forever. What did God say to you? I'll tell you, if you remember it, it will get you through and over the hard times. It'll lead you into victory because He always leads us in triumph. Always. He doesn't, it's not an occasional thing. If we will follow Him, He will always lead us into triumph. Jesus spoke about four soils, four types of dirt, meaning the hearts of the people. He talked about sowing the word of God in those four types of dirt. And only one of them really produced. Well, we can say, well, one dirt was stony, one was thorny, one was hard ground. But the real difference was the hearing of the word of God. Whatever attention you gave to the word of God. And he said even about those who heard the word of God and were the good ground, he said some these will receive back 30, 60, and some 100-fold. They don't always receive back the same measure, but they receive back in proportion to the amount that they've heard. And our problem isn't God. Our problem is we haven't heard. It's like Nicodemus. Well, you're a great teacher. Why? Because nobody can just do these things. Man, you know a lot of information. Jesus isn't trying to give you information. He's trying to give you a person. The person of God. He's trying to pour into an empty vessel a life that can totally radicalize who you are and change your destiny forever. He's trying to get this into us. You know, when Jesus was done with the parable of the sower, he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He said to us as believers, as disciples, followers of Jesus, he said, but you have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. You know these things. It's kind of what he was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're a teacher and you don't understand these things? You can't see past the natural things, Nicodemus? See, we need to look past the natural things that we've seen, that we've heard, and begin to look at the spiritual reality. It's not just the information. It's the person and the integrity of the person that has said these things to us. God is not a man that he should lie. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when God says something to you, whether it's in his word, in a sermon, when he's speaking to you in a direct word of the Lord, or a gift of knowledge, of information, or knowledge of understanding, do you remember it? Do you have ears to hear? Will you meditate on it and give that word place? Say, this is who I am. I'm going to look into the mirror of the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God says about me, I am. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am sanctified. I am redeemed. I am delivered. I am free from all this stuff. I have the capacity of Christ. I have the mind of Christ in me. Do you say these things about yourself? Are you able to look up off the dirt and look to heaven? Say, this is my Redeemer. This is the one that brought me out. This is the one who has set my feet on the solid rock, and I will not go back to how it used to be, because I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things, I like this, all things have become new in God. All things are of God. All things. In me, all things are of God. But, no buts. That's bringing up that past. That's bringing up my... I read a quote out of my Sunday school lesson to Roxanne. I just was looking back, and it was 2013 by Lance Wallnau. See if I can pull it all out. We need... It was essentially this. We need to define ourselves by what God is calling us into rather than the history of our past. And most of us, we define who we are by our history. God has given you a new life. And that new life should define who we are, not our history. Isn't that good? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. We've got a new year we're getting ready for. Tonight we'll celebrate it. Some will go out and shoot guns. Some will be asleep when the ball drops on their TV. You know, some will go to bed early and not care, and you'll wake up and you say, oh, I guess it's a new year. But are you ready to enter the new year? Are you ready to enter into a new life? Are you ready to let the old go and stop defining yourself by your history and begin to define yourself by the calling of God in your life? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Father, we give our lives, our hearts, our minds, our soul, our emotions, our will to you. Jesus, we declare you to be the Lord of our lives. And Lord, we ask you to help us walk with you, to give us revelation knowledge of who you are and what you have done, that even though we're in the world, we still live by the Spirit of the living God. Father, we ask you, come into our hearts, help us, encourage us, strengthen us, as you always will do, to live at a higher level than we've ever lived at before. Prepare us, O God, to enter into this new year with fresh minds, with open eyes and open ears, that we can see and hear and obey what you have for us in our future. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.